You're listening to the Lima Baptist Temple podcast, where you can hear the latest messages and other conversations as we strive to go, serve, and love in our communities. If you want to know more about us, visit us online at limabaptisttemple.org. If you've enjoyed our podcast, be sure to subscribe and check us out on YouTube. Amen. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 3. We're going to be talking about the power of the tongue. So this applies to you if you have a mouth. This applies to you if you have a tongue. And if your spouse is already giving you a nudge this morning, this might be a little bit of a ride. So hopefully most of us haven't had too many issues this week, but it's a great reminder. But if you have been impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ and transformed by the gospel, we are not to stay the same. Everything in our lives should be transformed. We're not just to be hearers of the word. We are to hear it and then change and live that out and be doers of the word. James says that as well. And this includes what we speak. This includes what we say. And you might be thinking this morning, why does it matter so much what we say and what comes out of my mouth? And some of you might be thinking, man, why is it so hard to control this little thing called the tongue? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But it matters because we are made in the image of God. He is our creator, and our words literally belong to him. Everything that we say and do belongs to God. When God created everything that we see, God did not wish things into existence. God did not will things into existence. If you go all the way back to Genesis, what does it say? He spoke and creation was formed. God's word has power. His words have power. Our words have power as well, and how we use our tongue and our speech should always be in light of the gospel, and it should always be focused on the things that God wants. I would even go as far to say that we steal God's glory when we use our words in a way that do not honor him. We steal God's glory when we use our tongue and speak words any way that we want. And I just have to be real honest with you. If I look back on my life, and my wife can probably testify to this, some of the biggest and most painful experiences with relationships in my life have come from when I used my words as I wanted rather than how God wanted me to use them, rather than how God designed them to be used. And these experiences, at least in my life, are always a reminder that, man, I need God's grace. And I think right now you're probably thinking of experiences in your own life, maybe even this last week, where maybe you misspoke and used words in the wrong way. But I want to show you this morning that to be a spiritually mature Christian, you need a tame and controlled tongue. And I think a really big underlying truth that we need to understand, even before we dive into James chapter 3, and I think this underlying truth really applies to every area of the Christian life, but it's this: the foundation for mastering our tongue is to understand that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We have to understand that. 2 Corinthians 5:20, here's what it says. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, as ambassadors, we do one thing. We represent the King who is not present here on earth. When I was at Cedarville, it was probably my junior year or senior year, they always did a business panel, and they brought in the hot doggers. Does anybody know what I mean when I say hot doggers? Well, these are the people that drive and are ambassadors for Oscar Mayer Wiener. When you see the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile out on the highway, you know when you get excited because there's only like six of them in the entire nation, but they drive around as ambassadors for Oscar Mayer, and they put on their meat belt, they open up the bun roof, they sit in the shop bun, but these hot doggers represent 24/7 Oscar Mayer. And when they were on this panel at Cedarville and they were talking about this, they said, this is a difficult job. We could be pumping gas. We could be checking into our hotel. We could be trying just to kind of relax at an evening meal, and people will come up to us and kids will interact with us. We always have to be representing well Oscar Mayer. And that's the same for us. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. How much more value should we place on that than the hot doggers? But the words you speak and communicate must be driven by what God is seeking to accomplish. And I love 2 Corinthians 5:20 because it spells it out very clearly to us. God is trying to accomplish reconciliation, which means making things right with God and with other people. God is literally working in every single situation, in every relationship, to reel in our hearts that are getting off track. And you and I are called to speak in a way that has this making things right in view, that has reconciliation in view in all of our conversations. But I know that's hard. We are broken people. We are messy people. We lose sight of this idea of making things right with others. Let me just give you a few examples as we dive in this morning. See, we lose sight of reconciliation. We lose sight of making things right with others when we change the truth just a little to avoid a conflict. Has anybody done that? We lose sight of this when you post something passively on social media hoping that one crazy friend will see it. We lose sight of this when winning the argument is all that we care about. We lose sight of this when we gossip and talk about other people. Can you imagine how our relationships would change if we actually talked to the people rather than about the people? Amen. Yes. Thank you. We got one person that cares about that. But when we lose sight of this, when we specialize in pointing out wrong rather than asking forgiveness, we lose sight of this when we criticize rather than praise. We lose sight of this when our conversations are always impersonal and don't dig deep with people. We lose sight of this when everything that we say and do constantly makes us the center of attention. We cannot forget that everything that we say and do, our words literally belong to our Creator. So as we begin, as we dive in, I just want to ask, are you speaking to do what you want in your relationships and circumstances? Are you speaking with the agenda that God has for you? Are you speaking as an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Do you talk, text, post on social media in a way that seeks reconciliation? Do you do those things to seek to make things right with those around you? So go ahead, James chapter 3. We're going to walk through this passage this morning. Verse 1, this is what it says. Now, many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And before I read the rest of the passage, I just want to pause here. This is a massive warning. Does anybody want to be a teacher in our Sunday morning groups or in a small group? When you teach God's word, it clearly says, hey, you are going to be judged with a greater strictness. And it's a big responsibility, but it helps to understand a little bit of the context. So in ancient times in the temple, at a point in the service, there would be kind of an open floor, and everybody would be so eager to speak a word, to say a word, and people wanted to kind of do it in a show-offy fashion. They didn't want to teach for the right reason. So James is saying, hey, time out here. But does that not sound a lot like today where everybody wants a platform? Everybody has something to say. Everybody wants to be an expert. Everybody wants to give advice. And James puts a big old time out here. He's like, are you sure you want to teach? Are you sure you want to speak up haphazardly? I think it's a good reminder. Verse 2, and we'll just knock out the rest of these verses. Here's what it says. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So a little bit of sarcasm there, hyperbole. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. In this passage, James makes three big points about our tongues and how we use our words. And then he points us to a solution. And I think these points are really going to help us, and these words are going to help us grow as we seek to use our words and everything really that we do as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So here's the very first thing that I want us to kind of wrestle with this morning. Here it is. The tongue is a small yet powerful force in your life. Your tongue and your words have power. The tongue may be small, but it has a massive impact. You know, your tongue has around 8 muscles, and those muscles actually don't really ever get tired. Isn't that crazy? Some of you are like, man, that explains a lot about my spouse. It never gets tired. But look at these examples that James gives about the tongue and what we say. The first thing he compares it to, hey, your tongue is like a little tiny bit. It's like the bridle that controls a large horse. The bridle is all the headgear. That's just like the words that we speak. They are a powerful force in our life, but controlled by such a small tongue. I love what James says in chapter 1, verse 26. He's talking about the bridle. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, listen to what he says. This person's religion is worthless. This person's religion is worthless if we do not bridle our tongues. Those are some massively strong words. So my question would be, what is holding the reins to your tongue? Is it Jesus? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you being led by being rooted in Scripture? Or is it something else from this world? Your unbridled tongue can literally taint your entire life. He says a person's religion is worthless. You know what that means? You can show up to church. You can praise God. You can be living the Christian life, praying like crazy, reading your Bible, and you could ruin everything. One word that you take and use as your own can destroy your entire testimony for Jesus Christ. And we all probably know that person that has happened to. It's important to master our tongue. But here's a second example James gives about the power of a tongue. He says, hey, your small and tiny tongue is like a rudder on a massive ship. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. A few years ago, I was reading a story about a ship in World War II, and it was the sinking of a German battleship. This battleship was named the Bismarck. Many of you probably are familiar with this story, but it was sunk by the British Navy. I think it was like 1942-ish, early 40s. But the Bismarck was the largest and strongest and one of the fastest ships that Germany had at that point. And many people said, hey, this ship is literally unsinkable. And one day, the British Air Recon, they were flying around, and they spotted this ship sailing, and they're like, man, this is a great opportunity. So they fire torpedoes at this ship, and they thought they missed because there wasn't an explosion. The ship didn't seem to be doing anything. But what they noticed was that this ship started going a little bit crazy. This ship turned back around, started going towards the British people, and then it started zigzagging all over the place, and then the ship started literally going in circles. And what had happened was one of the torpedoes damaged the rudder, and the rudder got stuck, and eventually this ended up being about an hour and a half long battle where the British just pummeled the Bismarck, and eventually the ship sunk because of the small and tiny rudder that was malfunctioning. Church, that's our tongue. It is small, but it controls so much, and our life can be destroyed. And James is saying, hey, your tongue is like this. It's a small part of your body, but it literally determines the course of your life. Like a bit, like a rudder, he's going to go on and say, hey, like a small fire, your tongue and your words have the power of life, and they also have the power of death. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has power. And you might be thinking, Pastor Ben, how can words really kill? Well, I'll tell you what, words can kill a spirit, words can kill a dream, words can kill an attitude or perspective. Words that kill, they're angry, they're divisive, they're hurtful, they're slanderous, they're selfish, they're bitter, and I could go on and on and on. If you look at history, there has been so much destruction in our world that has come from somebody's words. When I was studying this week, I ran across a blog that somebody wrote about Adolf Hitler's manifesto. This was his book, kind of his autobiography that he wrote with a bunch of other crazy things in it. And they were saying that for every word in this book, which is a lot, 125 people died in World War II. That's a lot. And I just want to say, hey, if your marriage is dying or maybe your marriage is struggling, it's probably because of some poorly chosen words you decided to speak. Maybe other relationships in your life are being torn apart because of words. Maybe it's because of gossip, and I already said that. Can you imagine what it would look like in all of our relationships if we actually talked to the people rather than about the people? Our relationships would be transformed, I can guarantee it. But words, on the other side, can be life-giving. They can be encouraging. Words that give life. They give life to a spirit or a renewal or a dream. They can give birth to a new attitude or a perspective. Life-giving words encourage, comfort, make peace, build up, unify, and show love and gratitude. I love what Proverbs 15:5 says. It says this, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes a spirit. You know, when we speak things well, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. It brings life. Has anybody ever had one of those moments when maybe the Holy Spirit gave you something to say to somebody that was really encouraging, but you chickened out on it because you're like, man, I'm more of an introvert, or I just don't like saying things. I think that's a reminder for us that we should never miss the opportunity to bless somebody with an encouraging word because we doubt God is calling us to say it. Man, if you hear the Holy Spirit or feel the Holy Spirit prompting you in those moments to give a big encouragement to somebody, take those steps and do that. And I would even say double that encouragement. But the tongue is small, the tongue is powerful. And what you and I say is always going a certain direction. Your tongue can build up or your tongue can tear down. Our words have power. So have your words this week. Have your words been blowing things up? Or have your words been building things up? There's a big difference, and this is the idea that James is getting to. But here's another truth that I think is very helpful for us. Number two, the tongue is impossible to control on your own. We cannot control it on our own. James continues talking about how the tongue is like a fire. It's a world of evil, it's wicked, and it's impossible to control. And here's what he says, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. See, James is saying here, there aren't many sins that do not involve our words, that don't involve talking in some way, shape, or form. So much of the wickedness that happens in the world and in our lives is wrapped up in this one little member of the body, the tongue. And he's saying, hey, all of it's coming from the fire of hell. Playing with uncontrolled fire never ends well, does it? But I like what he says next. It starts to get kind of like, I picture the kind of like the theme of a circus. Here's what he says in verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. See, church, we need help with our tongue. We cannot tame this thing on our own. Look what he says. He calls it full of deadly poison. Imagine if your job was maybe a top secret job and you were responsible for the poison and you would be so careful, I guarantee. You would handle that job with top priority and top care. But do we do that with our tongues? Think of all the animals that have been tamed. I know in my life I've seen a bear ride a bicycle. I've seen an elephant do tricks. Do you know that bees can actually detect cancer? They can detect explosives and they can seek out drugs. They can be trained to do things. And that's what James is saying here. Every animal can be tamed by mankind. But here's the point. Every kind of beast can be tamed, but no human being, even with all of our positive thinking, even with all of the self-help books out there, nothing can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. James says, a world of unrighteousness powered by the flames of hell. It is full of deadly poison. But there is hope, church. We need someone to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Only God can tame the tongue, and it starts with a personal relationship with him. You know, our words are an indicator of our spiritual maturity. They reveal our need for God's grace in our lives. But the tongue is impossible to control on your own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. And this last point gets to that idea. Here's number three. The problems with your tongue reveal you have a heart problem. That's how James wraps up this whole first 12 verses of chapter 3. Word problems are always heart problems. It's that simple. And that's what these verses are getting at. I just want to read through these again. Talking about our tongue. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Absolutely not. Doesn't work. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. He's trying to make a point. It's not going to work that way. The struggle we have with our words point to wicked and evil hearts. That's why literally in the same day we can cry out to God, we can be here in on a Sunday morning worshiping and being fed by the word, and then as soon as we get in our car, we're saying some bad words, we're yelling at our family, we're yelling at our kids, people that are literally made in the image of Jesus Christ. The words that you speak are determined by what's filling your heart. I love what Jesus teaches. It's in Matthew and Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 6. Verse 45, look what Jesus says. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is Jesus teaching, and he's saying, hey, the mouth speaks what's in your heart. It's an overflow of your heart. Your problem with words is not that you don't have an amazing vocabulary. It's not that you don't have an amazing skill in your in speaking, or you don't have impeccable timing. The matter of your struggle with words is always an issue of your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your purposes that dwell in your heart. If you want to change the way that you talk with other people in your life, your heart has to change first. The answer to controlling and mastering the tongue and mastering your words is found in Jesus Christ. Church, this is not something that we can just bunker down and try harder. We can't will ourselves or come up with this great plan or read some amazing self-help book. It's not going to work. Jesus needs to come in and transform our cold and wicked hearts. And what Jesus does is he replaces all of the terrible things that are deep down in our hearts with the saving power of salvation that brings light and hope and healing and forgiveness. That is the answer to controlling our powerful tongues. And some of you in this room, you have problems with your words, and that's because there is a major problem in your heart. We need Jesus. As we close, I want to jump to a verse that I use in my life often. When I'm struggling with my words, when I'm struggling with what to speak, and I want to spew out some things that aren't so nice. This is a verse I literally use, and I pray over my life to transform what I say and how I speak to those around me. And I think we could wrap up with this question. So we've talked about, hey, we are supposed to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and that means everything that we say and everything that we do. We looked at how bad our tongue is. We looked at Jesus offers the hope to transform our hearts so that we can speak well, but what are some of those practical things that we can do? What does it mean to talk like an ambassador of Jesus Christ? But here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. He's like, hey, we know it's down there. We know there's wicked and evil parts of our hearts, but do not let it come out. You need to be walking in the Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Self-control. You know what Paul actually says this is like when he's writing to Timothy? He's talking about just the nonsense babble of our words. And he says, hey, your words are like gangrene, and I wish I would have put a picture on the screen. I didn't think of it till just now, but gangrene is nasty. It rots out the limbs on your body, and if you want to be grossed out, just Google it right now. I'll give you permission, but he's saying, hey, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. It's like gangrene, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And there is so much that's packed into this verse. I almost thought about just doing a message on this. But I love how an author, his name is Paul Tripp. He's a biblical counselor. He was also a pastor, many great resources. But I'm going to share with you how he breaks down this verse. And I think it's very practical and helpful. So the very first phrase there, only what is helpful for building others up. We need to consider the person. We need to consider the person. Speaking as an ambassador of Jesus is always focused on other people. It's always focused on other people. Our words, what we say, what we have conversations about should be shaped by the other people in our lives and their interests. And you know what happens when we don't do that? That's when things get difficult. That's when things get trying. Paul is saying we should never say anything that is not helpful for others. Man, that's a lot of things. And here's a good question we can ask. What self-centered motives do I need to set aside before having a particular conversation with somebody? What self-centered motives? Is it about me or is it about the other person? Look at the next phrase. It says, according to their needs. We need to consider what the problem is. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, who are always centered on other people, we need to be asking, what is the problem at this moment? What are these people struggling with? What are they going through? What do they need most at this particular time? Maybe this person needs encouragement. Maybe they need comfort. Maybe they need hope. Maybe they need Jesus. Maybe they just need simply a listening ear. Or maybe they need warn. Maybe it's our kids and they need punished. We need to address some sin in their life. We need to ask yourself, what are the needs of the other person, and how can I choose words that are going to address those particular things? Then look at that last phrase, that it may benefit those who listen. We need to consider the whole communication process. We need to think about the time and the place. This means as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we focus on the best way to say what needs to be said. It's not just about what needs to be said. Has anybody in here, and I think, you know, spouses are a great illustration. Have you ever said something truthful to your spouse that you totally picked the wrong time to say it, and it was absolutely not beneficial? Right? We can all think of those things. We need to think of the time and the place and the whole process. It's not just about what we say, but it's how we say it and the timing. It's not just the content. So the question we could ask is, how can I deliver these words in a time and a manner that are most helpful? And many times, the question is, where do I need to hold my tongue? Even a fool is considered wise if he keeps his mouth shut. That's in Proverbs. But church, what I'm trying to show you is how we use our tongue should always be in light of the gospel and should always be focused on the things that God wants, should always be focused on his agenda. If you want to change the life around you, you need to change the way that you speak and allow the gospel and the Holy Spirit to transform your life. Do you want to change your workplace? Man, so much of the nastiness in the workplace comes from everybody's jibber-jabber, and their talk will change the way that you talk. And Paul actually writes, hey, when you don't complain, when you don't talk bad in your workplace, people are going to see that there is something different about you. It's like a massive sun shining in your face. That was from our Philippians series. Do you want to change your struggling marriage? Change the way that you talk. Do you want to be a better parent? Change the way you talk. Maybe pray scripture over your family. Stop criticizing as much and watch what you say. But the tongue, what Satan has used in your life to tear down your marriage, he wants to use your tongue by the power of the Holy Spirit to build it up. The tongue, what Satan has used in your life to belittle your kids, the Holy Spirit can use to build that up as well, church. And the tongue, what Satan uses all the time to cause division within the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit can use to draw us together, to equip the church, to build up the church, to bring reconciliation to so many relationships. And friends, that's what being an ambassador is all about. It's about making relationships right. We are to act and talk in a way that is all about making things right with other people and God. The same mouth that reveals our wickedness in your heart. It can be the same mouth that declares, hey, Jesus Christ is Lord in my life. So as Robin comes and we prepare for the invitation and I close in prayer, I just have one last question for you. The way that you speak about others, does it exude grace? Does it exude mercy? Does it exude love? Do your words sound like somebody who is representing our Creator? Do your words sound like somebody who is representing Jesus Christ? Do your words sound like someone whose heart has been sweetened and transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that you? Or is it bitterness? Is it nastiness? Is it complaining? You know, ask God to come in and transform your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, Ben, I don't even know if I have a personal relationship with Jesus. That is the first heart transformation that needs to happen. You need to admit And understand that God loved you so, so much that he sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for your sins, to come in to your evil and wicked heart and transform it, to bring light and life. You need to believe that with all your heart and place your faith and hope and trust in him. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christian, and maybe this week you have caused already a ton of damage. Hopefully not this week because it's Sunday, but last week, a lot of damage in your life. Maybe you need to confess that and even maybe go to that person or call that person later today and say, man, I am so sorry. I messed up. I used my words as my own and not how God intended them to be used. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for how it instructs us, even in the very practical things of life, like our tongue. Lord, our tongue gets us in so much trouble. Lord, I pray that all of us would learn to walk in your spirit and live out that last fruit, which is self-control. May we have self-control in this area. May we not cause damage by our words. May we remember that every day, 24/7, we are ambassadors of you. And Lord, you have placed us here. You sent your son Jesus to make things right, so we have a right relationship with you. We, in turn, are to be reconcilers and have right relationships with each other. Father, I pray for those maybe in this room right now who maybe have a broken relationship with somebody because of words, because they said something evil and wicked. Lord, I pray that you would convict them and start the restoration process. But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. And may we take these few moments just to respond to what your Holy Spirit is convicting us of this morning. And may we make and rely on you to make those changes in our lives. Father, we just thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take a few minutes to stand and sing and reflect on this message. If you need prayer for maybe it's a sickness or health issue, the pastors will be down here. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you about that. But let's sing, stand, and respond.
Thanks for listening to the Lima Baptist Temple podcast. We hope you are encouraged today, and we would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, a topic you would like to discuss, or want to share what God is doing in your life, visit us online at limabaptisttemple.org/centralhub.